will you be made whole. Father, thank you tonight for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness, which is better than life. Thank you that the entrance of your word bringeth life. Thank you that you have begun to speak to us things that our hearts are open to, or ear are eager to hear. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will deal with us individually in our place and apply the word of the Lord to our lives. I pray that you might be glorified, that we might be edified. The kingdom of your Son would be expanded upon the earth to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Jesus' statement, "No man can serve two masters," is at the heart of understanding the kingdom of God and understanding what our lives ought to be about. It means you have to make a choice. It means the kingdom of God cannot be attached or incorporated into an ongoing system. Because when we came, especially those of us who are Christians by tradition, when we came into the understanding of the gospel, we made a decision to just add the Christian religious experience to what we were already doing. It means accepting Christ as a lifestyle choice, not a religious choice. The struggle is not between God and Satan. That's a religious choice. But it's a struggle between God and mammon. That's a lifestyle choice. Mammon is the demon god of this world's economic system, or your favorite word and mine, money. Don't shout me down. Money. When I entered the kingdom of self, and the kingdoms of this world, and the kingdoms of darkness lose their authority in my life. Or at least is supposed to. The Father assumes the governance of my life. And what God governs, he provides for. Let me say that to you again. What God governs, he provides for. The reason the church is not successful is because we are intoxicated with prosperity and provision and not lordship and governance. Righteousness is God's system of governance. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, one of the things, problems we have is the is dealing with the concept that there are some things that are exclusively God's. And that's the first thing that man has to learn. Hence, the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Now, you would remember that God made the world, then he made the man. And the Bible says that God placed the man in the garden to cultivate or to protect and to keep, which means to protect and to cultivate, to bring to its maximum use, to serve God in the garden. The Bible didn't say that God gave him the garden. The Bible says that God placed him in the garden. And the Bible says that God planted the garden. God did not create the garden. And then God placed a tree in the middle of the garden. That tree is the tide. The tree, the tide, you see, is always in the middle of the paycheck. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's yours. There is something that God always has to put within your reach and to tell you, this is just for me. You can touch it. You can play in it. You can handle it. But you can consume it. It is exclusively mine. And one of the things that God insists that is, I don't know where he got the idea, but somewhere in his eternal wisdom, he decided that he is first, he must be first, and he will not share first with anybody. Labor is a product of the fall. God did not, people say, you know, before God gave Adam a wife, he gave him a job. No, he didn't. The garden was not a job. It was an assignment. It was a purpose. A job is something that you had to get after you got kicked out of the garden. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. Somebody asked me the other day. They said, Pastor, you know, I am preparing. I have my land. I'm preparing. It's not Pastor Morris. And he says, but my problem is that how am I going to protect? How am I going to protect? This is the thing, security, when nobody have anything and I have everything, how am I going to have to use a gun? I said, well, you know, God put the angel outside the gate to the garden and we still can't find it yet. It is God who closed the door of the ark. Noah didn't have to do it, and nobody can get in there. You just be obedient to God and know where you have to be. Labor is a product of the fall. But service is a covenant for provision. Now, many of us are trapped with our systems because we don't understand what God has set in the earth. The Bible says that God has given us the power to get wealth that he might establish covenant. Now, what that means is that God only gives wealth in the context of covenant. Now, the power to get wealth is service. Service is what God set in the earth so that I can be provided for. And the way it works is simply this. If I go over to Burnell and he says, I want you to cut my grass. And I'll give you $50. So I cut the grass, and he gives me $50. Then I go to the supermarket, and I see a loaf of bread, a carton of milk, and a dozen eggs. I pick it up. When I get to the cash register, they are going to ask me, you cannot get this until you have served somebody. And then I say, well, I have served Burnell. and I cut his grass. What is your proof that you cut Bernal's grass? Well, come on, preacher. So what's in your wallet? This has no value. It's a certificate of service. The more people you serve, the more the covenant of wealth works. Yeah. Bill Gates is rich because he created a product that serves us. Yeah. When I got on this computer, even though he was not here, he was serving me because I was able to use something he brought into the earth. That's important. I'm coming back to that. Yeah. Now, we are left as ambassadors of the kingdom of God to the kingdoms of this world. Because in the kingdom, provision is not an issue. If God was about provision, when I got saved, he'd just take me to heaven. Because up there, the streets are made with gold. He could do a better job providing for me in heaven than he can down here. Right? So why does he leave me as an ambassador? As a representative of the kingdom? And here's some things that you need to know about an ambassador if you don't already know. Number one, an ambassador is not subject to the laws of the kingdom to which he is assigned. Everybody knows that. It's called diplomatic immunity. Even the world recognized that you cannot serve two kings at the same time. So even though the Russian ambassador is stationed in Washington, D.C., on American soil, he is not an agent of the American government. Nor is he subjected to the laws. Number two, an ambassador is sustained by the kingdom he represents, not the one he's assigned to. We got some problems there. Now, it is true that because he's in Washington, they don't spend rubles in Washington. They've got to spend greenbacks in Washington, D.C. But that's a currency issue, not a source or provision issue. So the Russian government has to find a way to turn rubles into dollars. Yes, God is just using your job to turn heavenly currency into what they spend on earth. But God is my source because I am in the kingdom of God and he is responsible if he's governing. The ambassador is invested with the might and the power of the kingdom he represents. Now we have a problem. Because when Jesus said, you shall become witnesses after you have been endued with power from on high, we automatically think about somebody who saw something and show up in court. And basically, well, did you see him shoot? Yeah. You don't need power for that. Come on. What Jesus meant is that you shall receive power to be a stand-in. In other words, to stand in my place. That's an ambassador. And when you are standing as an ambassador, all the power that's in your president or in your king is in you. So an ambassador is only limited by the might of his kingdom or the mandate of his king. He has to know what he has been authorized to do.
Yeah.
And the problem with the church is that we're doing whatever we feel like doing. And then we want God to empower us to do what we came up with.
Yeah.
And God's like, no. Our message to the world is simply this. Our king has a problem with your king.
Yeah.
And if you don't repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Yeah.
Our king has hostile intentions. He's already set a date because he's determined that there will only be one kingdom. At the end of the day, there is going to be one kingdom. And he is prepared to put his might, his power, his wisdom, and his authority behind what he declares is his intention. Now, you could stay in that kingdom you're in, or you can repent and come into the kingdom I'm in. Either way, the king is coming.
Yeah.
And whatever I need to stand and declare that is what God is committed to making sure I have. According to Jesus, the ungodly is consumed by another system. To them, things are not needs, but things are gods. Now Jesus said, after these things do the Gentiles seek. What he's saying is, the way that God reserved for a man to come after God, that's the way the ungodly go after things. That's the way the church is going after things. We are consumed. We get up in the morning. When I first read this, I had a problem. Here's Jesus. Take no thought of what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. I'm like, well, what do you think about? If you take that away from our thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, what do you think about? Well, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. I call this the Gentile list. And the Gentile list is always also expanding. One of the curious things to me about the healthcare debate is that lady who had a big to-do about contraception, that her insurance and her company should be obligated to provide her with whatever she decides to do without losing control. People are consumed with that. People get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You say get up at 5 and let's come and wait before God. Folks are like, that early in the morning? Oh, no, that's not happening. But they get a job in the plant at 3:30. That same person who couldn't come to prayer at 6 is up at 3:30. Why? Mammon. It's a spirit. We are supposed to do that in the service of the king. Jesus is saying, in the same way the ungodly are pushed and motivated for that new car, you need to seek the kingdom of God with that intensity. Our provision is tied to another system based on original design. God introduced the principle of sow and reap as his means of provision in the earth. The first time there was sowing, I just told you before, God planted. God sowed that garden. He created heaven and the earth, but he planted that garden. And placed Adam in a garden four nations wide. It should have taken them a while to eat through that garden. But the first tree they went to was the one God says, that's mine. The principle of sow and reap is enforced by the law of seed time and harvest. I want you to stay with me. Because when Jesus said, to the birds toil not, neither do they spin. Yeah. What he's saying is that the birds cannot engage in sow and reap. Yeah. And yet God feeds them. Yeah. But God cares so much about you, he's given you a principle. Yeah. Now there are four elements. Because the principle of sow and reap is enforced by the law of seed time and harvest. Yes, I mentioned to you there are principles and systems and there are laws that enforces them. We find that in Genesis 8:22. After God had destroyed the earth, he made this covenant with Noah and with man. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not depart from the earth. Shall not cease. Now I want you to keep that in mind because that verse is at the heart of our conflict. Yeah. The reason we are fighting seedless relationships is what we're like, oh, just let them do their thing. Who cares about what they do in the privacy of their bedrooms? There are four elements at work in the law of seed time and harvest. Number one, and I'm going to run through this, the season. You know this. The season governs the reproductive cycle by creating conditions specific to certain activities within the system. There's a time, a season where you plant. There's a time where you weed and you water, and then there's the time when you wait. And most of us cannot really engage God in the sow and reap principle because between the time that you sow and the time that you reap, there is a waiting period that requires character. And in that period between you sowing and believing God for instruction and provision, that's when the devil comes and says, why don't you just go down to the bank? Secondly, there's the soil. The soil is that which has the ability to bring forth and sustain the highest potential of the seed. And facilitates the dead principle. How many of you know you can throw tomato seeds on this carpet till the cows come home, it will never. You ain't planning on eating tomatoes. The soil. Where you sow your seed is important. The soil also facilitates the debt principle. This is how we recognize when something operates under the sow and reap principle, by the presence of the debt principle. Jesus said, unless a grain of seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. What that means, that debt principle means that there is a point of release where the sower has to lose control. Right? And so we know what operates under the sow and reap principle. Because once that release is made and I lose control, a lot of times we cannot be blessed in church because not only do we want to give the tithes and offering, we want to control how it's spent. And so you never release. The only reason you pay the tithes and offering is because you're scared somebody might find out you don't pay tithes and offering. So you really don't pay. What you do is you sign a check that you think gives you the right of control. And foolish people will sit back and listen to it. I wonder what they did with that pledge I gave for $500. Because I ain't seeing nothing happen. That's what happens when you truly sow seeds. You don't see. If you keep digging it up, you will never. So, anything that has a seed operates under the sow and reap principle. Labor is basic sow and reap. It is the debt. Everybody on the earth depends on the principle of sow and reap, even though they don't know it. See, when you go to work, when I go, and I mow that grass for Burnell, if he don't pay me, I can't take it back. It is gone. That's why the earth compensates me. Because of the presence of the debt principle. But Jesus said, or the Father said, by the sweat of your brow, by labor, you shall eat bread. That means break even. You will not, all you're going to do is eat bread. That's what labor is. Break even level. In order to come to the abundant level, I have got to sacrifice from the break even level and separate the seed. Whenever God provides bread, he provides seed. He that ministers seed to the sower, ministers seed and bread. What that means is when you get an orange, there is a seed in it. When you get an apple, there's a seed in it. Now, guess what? The apple is for you to eat today. That's bread. The seed is so you can eat tomorrow. That's the principle. Now hold on here a minute. Because this is our problem. The Bible says we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Famine comes when I am forced to eat the seed. You see, I'm planning to finance my next car, but my next car is in the current check that God's given me.
Come on, Scott.
If I don't sow the seed or preserve the seed for that car, I'm going to have to go into debt. Which means that somebody else is going to eat my seed.
Lord help us.
Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Now, the sower, that's us, is the one for whom the principle exists.
Yeah.
And the one who must activate the principle as an act of the will.
Yeah.
The Bible says the slothful man shall not eat. Because he has got to, as an act of the will, say, I am going to sow. I am going to engage in sowing.
Yeah.
Now, the soil that a sower is authorized by virtue of education or training or inheritance or qualification or certification that he's authorized to sow is called a field. That's why we used to ask people, what field are you in? In other words, Ernest, where have you been qualified to sow? Because if I went and got certified as a medical doctor, I can sow in a courtroom. Is anybody listening to me? So one of our problems is that I don't know what field I'm in. And God has taken me through experiences that lets me know if you are not in your field and if you can't find your field and if you don't know your field where you have been anointed to prosper, you will never prosper. The seed is that which has it within itself the ability to reproduce and to multiply. The definition of a seed is the same as the definition of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I have a seed in my hand, I got a hectare. I got 7 acres. I got several silos. Now, it's the substance, the evidence.
Yeah.
If I say, Pastor Morris, I got me 2 warehouses of corn in my hand. Yeah, where is that going? There it is. Seed time and harvest exist because of seed. And God promised to give seed to the sowers.
Yeah.
Who does God promise to give seed to?
Sowers.
We are engaged in a clash of two systems. The aim of the kingdoms aligned with against God and his kingdom is to destroy any resemblance of God and his righteousness. In other words, his way of doing things. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. When I come into the kingdom, if I was employed at Exxon, I no longer work at Exxon because I'm no longer there for the Gentile lips. The Father is now my source. So what he's saying is that I'm still going to the job, but I am not going to work. I am going to serve. I am going to represent the kingdom in that place of my assignment. So now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be walking around with the biggest Bible. You know how we do. We got the biggest Bible on our desk. We're spitting scriptures at people. They hate to see you coming. But you are always last to get to work. First to leave. You take 2 hours lunch and it's half. You.
Come on, preacher.
You are not serving.
Yeah.
You are not representing the kingdom. The reason you are there is to give the credibility that gives you the right to speak to people the message of the king.
Of the king. Come on, preacher. That's good. Hallelujah.
I agree with Pastor. Networking is good if God has assigned you to that network. But you need to remember, you are not there to get your prosperity and your stuff on. You are there to represent the king. And if it never comes to the point where you say to them, look, man, there is some, I always say, may I share something with you? I'm always looking for that moment. Yeah. I don't share with anybody who don't give me permission. I'm like, would you mind if I shared something with you?
Yeah.
Why, sure. Because I've already established the credibility that gives me the right to speak to people. Now, here's what I want to share something with you that really was made a difference in me. And here's what it's going to take about 15 minutes. Do me a favor. I know you're going to have questions. Come on, please. But let me get through the end of this, because as long as I've been doing this, sometimes I get all confused. So let me get to the end. And then if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer it then. Yeah, sure. Well, I didn't know you was going to know. Remember now, you told me I had 50. You agreed. But if you don't have the credibility, so now I am not working for Exxon. I'm working for God at Exxon. This is what Jesus is saying. You are now getting up like they're getting up and reporting like they're reporting, but you're not there for what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to put on. I am there because I'm on assignment from the King of Kings.
That's it, Richard. That's good work. Good work.
So I am the best employee
That's right. Come on.
That they got. You know, I'd be like, well, I can't go out to lunch. I'm fasting. Fool. Jesus said, ain't nobody supposed to know that.
Amen.
That's what he said.
That is when we in the embassy. Do you know that the embassy, even though it's on American soil, it's not American territory? That's what Satan said to God. But yeah, he's down here on the earth, but his property cannot be touched. You worried about folks coming with guns to get your vegetables. If he couldn't get to Job, well, unless God give him permission, how's he going to get to you? Jesus says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Don't be scared. We're talking about changing system, but we are still going to work because I'm just trying to make a living, Brother Ford. I'm just trying to listen. Your Father, Jesus said, knows you have need of these things, and he has given you a principle that will produce for you. Here's the thing about seed. The quantity of the seed determines the quantity of the harvest.
Yeah.
If you're not making it, sow more.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher, that's good.
The quality of the seed determines the quality of the harvest.
Yeah.
If you're getting junk, stop sowing junk.
Yeah.
Right? One of the reasons that we are still hooked in this, we don't believe that we can have or cars debt free or houses debt free. Yeah. We don't believe it. And one of the reasons is that he who owns the seed owns the harvest.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, but I want to promise. Every person who was planning to be here tomorrow, raise your hands. You already planning to be here tomorrow. Raise them high. Okay, now I want you to promise when I finish telling you this, you still come tomorrow. Can I have permission, Pastor?
Go ahead.
He who owns the seed owns the harvest. The problem with us is that we are spiritual sharecroppers. You know, sharecroppers. The man owns the land, the man owns the seed.
Yeah.
You work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When the harvest comes in, he gets the majority of the harvest. And because you are just in labor, you break even.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You come up to the store all year and you get what you want.
Yeah.
And no matter how much you do, how much extra you plan, at the end of the season when the harvest is in, you have just broken even, if you're lucky. When you are in debt,
come on, preacher.
Come on now.
Now, let's say I borrow $1,000 from Paul. Everything that I earn until that $1,000 is paid belong to Paul.
Yes, sir.
But guess what? Since I'm just making $150 a month, Paul says, well, I tell you what, I'm going to let you pay me back $10 a month, and I'll let you use my money. Now, here's the thing that we don't understand. We think that usury is tied to the $1,000. But every dollar I get until that $1,000 is paid belongs to Paul. And for the use of my Paul's money, I have to pay him usury. Now here's how the world system changed that. Nobody likes to be used. So we changed the word to interest. They don't tell you you are paying for the use of that money.
Right.
You are paying interest, which means it's in your interest.
Yeah.
Now, when I get my $150 and I bring my tithes and my offering, I am bringing Paul's money to sow. Then I look around and I am still in debt and I'm like, Lord, I've been faithful in my tithes and my offering. But when you go to the bank whose money you actually paying tithes and offering on, you would find that they got the harvest. I asked the Lord about that. I asked the Lord about that. I said, God, how could you let that happen? Do I get any blessing at all when I'm in debt? He says, yes, I have to bless you with health and strength so that you can work to pay off the guy who is sowing the seed.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
That's the system of the world.
Yeah.
It's the system that's existing in the world. This is what Jesus means when he says mammon.
Yeah.
The enemy operates through systems of dependency because he cannot produce seed.
Come on now.
So we have seedless relationships, man with man, woman with woman, that cannot produce. I was in my biology class, and I was hearing about natural selection. And they were telling me about all the lengths that plants and animals go through to reproduce and survive. And then they told me, there is no God, so two men being together. And then I said, well, evolution would not do that. Evolution finds a way to perpetuate life. So evolution, so when you tell me about evolution, what you are telling me is that in the fact you actually believe deeper than what I believe. But we get so scared of science because they know it all. But two plants... A plant will try to be the highest plant so that it could get the sunlight because it's trying to survive.
Yes.
Then why would evolution produce two men?
Come on, Richard. Come on.
That will destroy the species because it's a system.
Yeah.
It's the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
It's against the seed.
Yeah.
I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and his seed. Seedless food. Wife came home one day and said, I ain't eating no more of these watermelon without seed. This is the way we are being. You go, I just love these seedless grapes. It ain't got no trouble. You just bite into it. Listen to me. Sowing always takes place in a hostile environment.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I am away from what I'm planning to go. Okay, well, good. Listen. Sowing always takes place in a hostile environment.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How is it that you could go out, ignore your lawn and see what happens?
Oh, yeah.
There'd be all kinds of weeds out there.
Yeah.
There'll be all different species of grass, but you are not going to see corn growing in your yard on its own. You will not see tomatoes growing on its own. You will not see pears growing on its own. You will not see anything that will provide bread and seed growing on its own. That's why you need a sower. Sowing always takes place in a hostile environment by the sweat of your brow.
Come on, preacher.
What that means, you never have enough money to sow.
Yeah.
He said, well, Bishop, I could have a lot of money. So how could you say that sowing always takes place in a hostile environment? If I have a lot of money, I don't need to sow. So the people who need to sow always have pressure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah.
Always.
You never have enough. If you're going to get to the break-even level and stay there, you can do that. But God says, even though you're breaking even, there is a part of it, the first tenth belongs to me.
Yeah.
Not the tenth, the first tenth.
Yeah.
It's always hostile. Don't even bother saying, it's hard, I got a budget. Yes, it's hard, you got a budget. If it wasn't hard, if you didn't have to do sow and reap and break even, you wouldn't get up and go to work in the morning. But when you get up, it's cold outside. You feel like sleeping. You don't want to go out, but you do. Because it always takes place in a hostile environment. You know why? Because of the death principle. Listen, whatever you're living for, we are not just sowers, but we are seeds. God has planted us into the earth, and he expects a return.
Yeah.
And whatever I am living for, I'm dying for.
Yeah.
Because every moment I give to it is a moment that I cannot recover.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And for all those moments that you have been given that you cannot recover, God expects a return.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
That's what the enemy doesn't want. He wants you to live your life.
There you go.
You say God don't need a return. Yes, he does. That's the only thing God wants. Well done, thou good and faithful what?
Servant.
What does a servant? A servant does something. So there's a system at work in the earth. Debt. Welfare. There's no sow and reap in welfare. And it has entrapped generations. Social security. We had to become dependent on the system. I got to know it inside and out. Thank God he did that because I was clueless. The healthcare system. The Bible says that my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn to themselves a system that cannot hold water. What's that? It's the New Age movement. A lot of people are so spiritual. They are so religious. They got angels hanging around their neck. Angels hanging around their windshield, their rearview mirror. They've got a sticker. They got a prayer mat. They're doing Pilates. They're doing yoga. They're doing TM. They're worshiping at every altar. And it's always interesting to hear women on TV saying that they want a spiritual man, but they don't want one who submits himself to the word of the Lord. So, but I want a spiritual man. I want a man that believes in God, but I don't want him going to church and all that. No, just... Islam. Indoctrination instead of education.
Yeah.
Do you know in the last few things that was invented in the earth that really served humanity, people had to come out, drop out of school to invent them and do it because the professors told them it was not possible.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
Because if I educate you, you can think and you can produce things that God has ordained for you to produce in the earth. But if I tell you that you are limited, that you believe what I tell you to believe. Systems of dependency, and I'm coming to a close, depends on victims. It's a system of victimization.
Yeah.
And for the enemy to accomplish what he wants in our nation, he's got to make victims of everybody. So women, there's a war on women. They are victims.
Yeah.
There are wars on the gay and lesbian community. They are victims.
Yeah.
Black folks are victims. Oh, my Lord. Folks said we elected the president and he's not doing anything about the black community. We don't want him to do anything about the black community, because if we have him do something about the black community, we'll have to get up and work. Men would have to stay at home and take care of their families. And we'll have to stop saying that we are the way we are because we are black. We won't have an excuse to just shoot each other and kill each other. We don't want him to do anything about the community. Because everybody is a victim. The AARP says seniors are a victim. Do you understand that one month, there was one month that 60,000 employees were added to the workforce and 80 million people went on disability?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you know how they are bringing down the unemployment rate? They are reducing the people that's actually looking for work.
Yeah.
If I take 10% of 300 and it doesn't look good, I just take out the folks who didn't look well, and 10% of 100 raises the...
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It's deliberate. It's a system to which we are hooked in. And it's going to fail because our king has hostile intentions.
Yeah.
I want to finish with this man at the pool of Bethesda. Because we're relying on trusted human systems. You have got to change the system that you operate in.
Yeah.
The Bible says that this man was ill for 38 years. And he is at the pool of Bethesda. And when Jesus came to him, Jesus said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" Now listen to me. Wholeness means to be full, to be complete, cannot be improved upon. To be independent and self-sustaining.
Yeah.
In fact, James describes wholeness when he talks about patience. He said, "Let patience have a perfect way, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing."
Yeah.
That's what it means to be whole.
Yeah.
So Jesus comes to this man. And what does the man do? He says, "Sir, I have been here year after year." There was a system in place at the pool. The Bible says once a year an angel came down, and the first in the pool got healed.
Yes, sir.
You know what we call that now? The 1%.
Yeah.
Of the 1%. Now, see, everybody, the system needs victims. So the people that weren't the victim were the rich. You ever heard that? The rich. Well, then they found out that the rich wasn't as rich as everybody thought they were, but we need victims. So now they say the 1%. Because they found out that the rich was their neighbors. Because things have gotten so bad that when they say the rich, they're talking about the working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's the 1%. Because we need victims. Somebody else is to blame. He said, "Lord, I have no man to put me in the pool. But when the water is troubled, another person jumps in." Now, I want you to see something here. If I was at that pool And that man was told to get up, take up his bed and walk. And I saw it. What should have happened was everybody at that pool. I don't know about you, but hey, hey, I would have grabbed on to Jesus. I would have been shouting like Bartimaeus. Jesus, look over here. Hey, where you think you're going? But one man got healed because the rest of them were in the system. They have grown used to being victims. Yeah. They have grown the lifestyle. You see, what has happened when you were at the pool, folks bring food. Yeah. You did not have to move. Think about it. He's been sitting there for 38 years. Yeah. He didn't have to get up to take a bath. He didn't have to get up for a meal. He was just sitting there. Yeah. And around this pool was a whole lot of folk that was just sitting there. Yeah. And they designed a system. To keep them where they were. Yes, to keep them out of sight.
Lord,
to keep them contented.
Lord,
and whenever you touch the system, whenever you touch the system, yes. Bill Cosby found out one day he forgot himself and started talking and forgot and he touched the system and he said, where were the parents?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Well, man, you might be Bill Cosby, but you ain't gonna break up this cozy relationship that we have. And when he came to Baton Rouge, we went to see Bill Cosby. And you could count the black folks that was there on one hand. You know why? Because he touched the system. We want to be victim. Now, white folks are victim and black folks are victim. Now, Hispanics are victim. Folks don't even belong in the country. And they're getting in on the action. They are victims.
Come on, Lord help. Lord help.
The system. The reason that man got the attention of Jesus, he was the one man that held out hope.
Yeah.
Why did the rest didn't move? Because Jesus messed around. If Jesus had said, be healed and go, it would be okay. But Jesus says, take up your bed and walk. And if I have to take up my bed, if I've got to take responsibility, if I've got to stand up and do it, I'd rather be right here. We are living in a nation that will not rise up, take up our bed, and walk. And let me tell you why, as African Americans, we have to repent. It's because we introduced the system. And now gays and lesbians says, if you did it for Africa, you got to do it for Sodom and Gomorrah. So they sat there. Every time a miracle takes place, conflict follows. You would have thought that the scribes and Pharisees would have gotten real excited. They would have called a press conference. Ananias and Sapphira, Caiaphas. Or as we say, Jesse and Al. Should have called a press conference and say, brothers and sisters, the Messiah, the day that we told you about, is upon us.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lord of the Sabbath has announced himself. Instead, they called a confab. It happens every Sunday after you're done preaching, Pastor. Instead of folks getting rejoiced, oh my, did you hear that word? Bucket mouth touch John 6 back and say, call me. Okay, let me go back. I felt that. If you are going to walk with God, you're going to have to change. Says Jesus did not heal that man. He changed the system under which he was living. That's what he came to do. For this cause was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Will you be made whole? Because we don't want to be. We don't want the responsibility. I'm good. Hey, did you? The healer's here. Did you see? He just hooked up Issachar. You won't check him out? I'm good. It's high. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Sounds funny. But two systems were in place. The welfare-dependent, victimized situation that he was in, and the religious system that developed to keep and explain away the absence of the presence of God.
Yeah.
You will see that full gospel preachers are becoming archbishops and bishops, and they look more flashy than the Pope. You know why? We have no power. Because of the system.
Yeah.
It's having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God wants to restore. The reason God cannot do what he wants to do is because of the conflict that comes when you stand up in your place and say, you know what? I refuse to be a victim. I will be a victor. I will be more than a conqueror. I am going to be a man and woman of God. And whatever happens, I am with God. You know what I found out? That people that need the power of God, they don't care. They ask that man, who did that? He said, I don't even know.
Yes,
but don't laugh. I really am done. It's 9 o'clock. I really am done. But Pastor, there are folks that if they won't get the credit, they will leave that man sitting right there.
Yeah.
What you mean I don't know who actually got me delivered? If you don't get the credit, you won't sing. If you don't get the credit, you won't give. If you don't get the credit, you won't pray. If you don't get recognized, you are crippled. Jesus did not even tell him who he was. And folks don't, if you got the power, folks don't care. If you got the power, folks don't care. If you get the anointing, folks don't care. What they want is to be out.
Yes, Lord.
But what has happened to us in the church is we have the same language of the victims.
Yeah.
You complain more on your job about how low the pay is than the average ungodly folk on the job.
Yeah.
Because guess what? When it's football season, they will go to Hawaii.
Yes,
because they are part of the Jaguar Nation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are part of a holy nation.
Yeah.
A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. But you can't stop complaining and give God the praise and stop being a victim and change your system.
Yeah.
Pray with me, everybody. Pray with me. Pray with me.